And I'm going to really just discuss this thing here in 1 Corinthians 5 about removing someone from membership, the implications, and talk really about the Lord's churches. And so let's just read these 13 verses. I'll do a little review. Some of you might not have been here last Sunday night. And so you really want to learn some basic truths. Boy, 1 Corinthians is a great book because it's just so critical for us, because these were young believers and God lays out just some great truths. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as mentioned among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Verse 2. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed, this terrible sin. Verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, which such an one know not eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not judge them that are within. Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. I want you to note this. There's great sin in the church. He says that in verse 1. A man apparently is having inappropriate relationships with his stepmother. And he says this sin is not even a sin that's among the Gentiles. It's just so outrageous. And remember this, the church is to be a representation of Christ. That's daunting. It's daunting to have that laid before us and that privilege and responsibility. And he says in several places, look at this in verse 2, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So, might be taken away from among you. He says this with the purpose, verse 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And then, look at verse 13. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And so, he's telling them with great clarity, this person should not be a member of the Church of Corinth. They should be removed, and I'm going to suggest that they would have followed biblical principles that Jesus had given, and we'll look at those tonight, that they had exhausted those, and this person has refused to repent. First thing I want to look at tonight, though, I really want to just walk through this, is church authority. And so I'm going to lay out this hypothesis for you, and then you'll have to prove it to yourselves. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't just be like most people that attend church. They can parrot what the preacher says. Polly wanted a cracker, right? They can say, well, this is what the preacher says. Well, what do you believe? What did the scripture say? Can you prove? Can you defend? Can you exposit and show people what you believe and why you believe it? You need to do that. And again, I'm a broken record. When you teach others, that'll cause you to learn it. You'll find out what you don't know. Because people ask questions you don't want them to ask. They're like, oh, well, I don't know. Good thing I'm not a pastor. Yeah, that happens to me all the time. I finally got over it, and I'm like, you know, I don't know everything. I'm not going to try to portray that I know everything. But I'm going to try to just base what I believe on the scriptures. Now, understand this. I believe there's two authorities this side of heaven. Two authorities that God's given us this side of heaven that we can see. Okay? Obviously, God's our authority. The Holy Spirit's our authority. But boy, people sure do blame the Holy Spirit for a lot of things I don't think he's involved with. So I'm just telling you two things we can see. One, the Word of God. The Word of God is our final authority on what is right, what is wrong, and how we honor God. Period, over and out. The second authority, now I've got to prove this to you. The second authority God's given us are His churches, not His pastors. Okay? Just make sure you understand that. It's collectively as a body. And He has given authority to His churches that is amazing. But it's this. I want you to just know this. I'm gonna teach this because what authority does this body have to discipline somebody, to remove them from membership? And it's a kind of a grave consequence. It's authority given to us by God, and we ought not to take it lightly. But I also tell you this, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, this is Sunday night, but people move. People get mad. People get hurt. I want you to understand this. If I can say it this way, you're not allowed as a child of God to be without a church home. Now, obviously, you might be in between church homes for some reason, but I'm just telling you this. It is a part of God's plan. It's not me to try to hook you into Hope Baptist Church for the rest of your life, but I'm telling you this. If you just say, I can't, if you can't stand me and you can't get over that, you probably should find another church, because that would be tough to look at some guy every day or three times a week and go, man alive, he did it again. You know, and so ask the Lord to help you get over me. It's a big deal, right? But you're going outside of God's plan if you don't have a church that you are part of and you're active in serving the Lord. It is part of His plan to keep us in check. It's His plan that I believe every service ought to be done to the Lord. You guys might have just thought I was just checking the box when I went to South Africa and I was gone a little bit more than I usually am. You guys had authority to say, you're not allowed to go. You know, I gave you that authority, and honestly, I wanted to submit to that authority. I was going to be gone 5 Sundays. That's a long time. And I wanted your blessing. I wanted your approval because I am in submission to this body. You're like, yeah, right. Sort of when I tell my wife, I say, you're the most powerful person in my life. She's like, yeah, right. And I am. I want to tell you this. You guys can remove me from the pulpit and fire me any day. You're the authority. This is not a dictatorship. This is not in any way, shape, or form. The authority is with the Lord's churches. And it's amazing what God says. And so what I tell you is this. I'm not going to preach on all this. So I'm just going to give you one example. And so this will, on a Sunday night crowd, it's not different. But you know this. You know how we have SMOs. Sunday morning only people, right? And I love SMOs. I'm going to love the SMOs. But SMOs that are members, they are not in obedience to the authority over them. It would be like if your boss said, we're going to do 312s this week, and you show up for one and think everything's fine and wonder why your paycheck's cut. Because you didn't obey the authority over you, and you think everything's going to go just fine and just well. This is not an attendance drive. I have finally concluded, I will no longer press people for attendance. I've tried. I'm done. You don't want to attend? Get your heart right. And so I'm done, because I can beat people into submission sometimes, and they're like, I came, you know. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Why don't we want to assemble together? Why don't we want to worship the King? And I don't want to do it anymore. I'm trying to help, but it's, we don't like to submit. Met a man here in the last few years, had breakfast with him. And I said, well, have you ever been part of a church? And he said, no, I haven't. And, you know, first time I had met him, and I probably shouldn't do this quickly, but just comes out of me, probably the flesh. I go, well, that's your problem. I said, you need to submit to a church of the Lord. And he bristled, and he said,
I will never submit. And I said, you'll never be useful for the kingdom like you could be. I know. Probably should have done it on the second visit. But I was trying to help him. I was trying to help him. You understand this? At times I wish it's like, tonight I'm not a pastor. I would preach this message, and I used to preach this message when I wasn't a pastor. I'm telling you this, a church home that you serve in, not just come and sit, that you serve in, that you submit to, that I'm telling you, if I have a ministry idea, it needs to come through Hope Baptist Church. Not going to have Steve Hall Ministries. And if you know somebody, I'm not picking on any of that. I'll tell you, it could be named that. It needs to be under the submission of one of the Lord's churches. That's the authority here, this side of heaven. I don't see any independence beyond that. I think every ministry, if we ever had a Christian school, it's going to be under the church. Otherwise, I don't want a Christian school. I believe that that's God's plan, and it's His goodness. And I, as a pastor, I need to be in submission. Submission is the key to life. If you don't first submit to Christ, nothing else matters. But after I submit to Christ, I've got submission all over the place, right? I mean, Lauren realized that this morning. Submission, right? I mean, she had all the kids in the car, one in the womb, and Zach wasn't there. She turned left on red with a cop behind her. Right? She learned right away. And aren't you glad, aren't you? So I just figured you'd tell this, right? And so pulled her over, right? And didn't give her a ticket and thought, you know, she lost it for a moment, realized when she turned left on red, and then he saw all these boys. It's your fault, boys. It's your fault. Right? You're like, Mom, we're going to church and you're breaking the law. Right? And we have to submit. We have to submit to the laws of the land. If you learn one thing, and this is not really the intent of the message, but that God's ways are better, and it is submission. I must submit to God and the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Otherwise, if I don't, I will be on the throne. And when I rule, it doesn't work out that well, brotherly. Right? It is submission to God. And as my wife, she loves, you know, my favorite verse, Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord, right? But she goes, likewise ye husbands. That's her favorite verse, verse 23. Likewise ye husbands, right? And she does have a point. It's not as strong as verse 22, but to have a good marriage, there is mutual submission. I'm telling you, you don't learn that, you'll be fighting the rest of your life. It's mutual submission. Mutual submission. So I tell Deb, this is my submission day. And but it is, I need to know her, love her, and submit. It's submission, submission, submission. Okay, so our young people, so I call you young people. Kids sometimes, I don't want to insult you that way. God has given you your parents. They are your authority. Delight in submitting to them. And trust that it's going to be good. Your parents aren't perfect. Right? Too bad you weren't my children, and because you had had perfect parents then, right? Oh, no, because Deb is messed up, let me tell you. But it's God has given us parents, and He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And the model isn't that there's ever a perfect church. It's not. But it's God's plan, and it is good. It is good. And so now let's just look at church authority. I want to walk you through, and we can talk about this more. I'm going to walk you through. I'm going to begin with one of the most famous places, but I'm going to also show you the authority. It's Matthew 28. So Jesus, this is, there's 11. This is after His resurrection. Judas had committed suicide. And so He's speaking to them. I believe He's speaking to them as that first church, representatives of that first church. And so I'll have to go into all that tonight, but I believe He is. So this is called the Great Commission. This is called the Great Commission. And it's where I believe he authorizes them in a great way. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So the 11, because Judas had committed suicide. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. I always say this. I'm so encouraged by the some doubted. They were saved, but they were struggling. They just, some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. That's the word for authority. There's a word, a dunamis, that would mean like dynamite, explosive. But this is the word for authority. All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then he authorizes them. He commands them. He commissions them. That's why it's called the Great Commission. He commissions them to do this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Todd and I were talking this morning, so you know this is one of my favorite passages because teach, right? But a lot of other translations are, is the King James the only one that uses teach, go ye therefore and teach all nations? Most other translations, and I think teach is a great word, it says make disciples. Fits with that message this morning. Understand that? Not a difference between a believer and a disciple. Not two tiers of Christians, right? And so, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is the Great Commission given to the Lord's churches. Churches are made up of individuals, but it's given to the Lord's churches. I think most of you have the common sense to realize this. You don't have the authority to baptize. You don't have the authority to baptize. I don't have the authority to baptize. It's his churches that do. I tell you this all the time. People laugh when I say, I'm just the flunky administrator. You know, I say it because I want it to trigger people to go, what? No, he's the authority. No, this body of believers is the authority. It's super important that we remember that and we realize that, and I want you to know that because it's God's great plan that you've heard this, there's safety in numbers. Well, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, right? He didn't intend for it to be, you know, a dictatorship. Do this. He wants me to lead, but lead with just the Spirit of Christ and not with coercion, right? And so the authority he's given us that's visible, two visible authorities, his word and his churches. And I want to tell you this, churches can be wrong. Just like parents can be wrong. So do you say, I'm out of here. See you guys later. You blew it, Mom. See ya. No. Churches can mess up collectively. But you know what we do? We forbear, we love, and if it's, you know, if a church goes bad on the gospel, that's something that if you can't fix, you need to find a new church. So I'm giving you, you know, just some litmus test. If a church goes bad on the gospel, I can't see how they can be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you battle to try to resurrect the true gospel. You know, you look at the seven churches in Asia, we can learn a lot from them. And so, but otherwise, you know, I'm not saying that the authority God established is perfect. Christ is perfect. He's the head of the church. And I say that, and I use that word institutionally. He is the head of each church. The Bible calls each church an independent, autonomous body of Christ. And we're going to see that later in 1 Corinthians. We'll see it tonight. But church authority, he has given authority, and he's given authority to say, God's plan this. His plan was, I'm going to establish churches. They're going to take the gospel. They're going to then baptize people. And baptism, we're going to see in just a second, is the means by which you join a church. And that's my plan to reach the world with the gospel, is through churches. And so, church authority. Second, I just want you to see this. It's Matthew 18, and we're going to see this with the church discipline. This is Jesus. Matthew 16, just remember, he said, upon this rock, I believe he's pointing to himself, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I believe the Lord's church was already established in its infancy by the time we get to Matthew 18. The Lord didn't start his church on the day of Pentecost. He empowered his church on the day of Pentecost, and it exploded on the day of Pentecost. But he started his first church at Jerusalem during his earthly ministry. And I tell people this, Christ came for three primary reasons. One, to do the will of the Father. Two, to die, take our punishment, and rise from the dead. And third, establish that first church. And underneath that is train the men that would be leading that first church. And then multiply into churches across the world. And so by Matthew 18, he's giving instruction here how to deal with what I would call our major disagreements, major issues between one another, and major sin. Okay, so here's what he says. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, and I'm going to suggest this is all within a church context. All within a church context. Matthew 5, I think, would take it outside of a church context. If you remember that your brother has aught against you, go to your brother. So I'm telling you, the principle of reconciliation should not just involve the members of this church, but it should involve Christianity, just to be clear. But I believe that we have a greater responsibility. Maybe that's not the right word. We have, a greater responsibility within this body that you're a part of. You follow me? Within this body that you're part of to make things right so that we have harmony, so that we have unity, so that the cause of Christ and the work of his kingdom will not be hindered. But if you have issues with a brother or sister that's outside of this congregation, absolutely you should make things right with them. Follow the same principles. Matthew 5 would be additional instruction that's not necessarily, but this is church context, so I'll prove it to you. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. So, Joe, you do something, and it's just not good. This is what the Bible says. If you trespass against me, if you sin against me. So, moreover, if Joe, let's just make it personal. If Joe trespasses against me, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, kindly, right? If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Remember this, the whole point is this. Joe, come on now. And then maybe Joe gives me some feedback. Says, "Whoa, you know, I wasn't realize that. I've been wrong too. Let's. Would you forgive me?" And the whole point is this: I want us to get along. I want us to love one another, because Christ is worthy. Whether you're worthy or not, I don't even have to think about. Christ is worthy. That's why I'm going to come to you. Let's make it right. So if there's an issue with you, a brother or a sister, and here's what I tell you to do. So, and I just try to overteach sometimes. So if I have an issue with a woman, I will never address a woman by myself. Men, I don't think it's your. I would not advise that. I would get my wife, and we might go and address that with that woman if there's an issue with a woman, right? So man to man, I think is okay. Woman to woman is okay. I don't want our men going to women and going, "Hey," we probably should never go, "Hey," to even the man. But I just believe, I'm not going to go into that tonight, but I want to make sure that we don't misunderstand this, right? And sometimes women are going to get on men's nerves within a church, right? But I think you want to have some female perspective to come alongside and to help with accountability. I believe that. And ladies, if you have an issue with the man, then get another man, whether it's me or another spiritually minded man, and if you're married, then your husband, if he's spiritually minded, and go make things right gently and privately. Okay, follow me? So this is God's plan. He says, if somebody sins against you, go one-on-one. But if he will not hear thee, Joe says, no way. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. So here's the key. I go to Joe. Joe says, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't care. Right? And we ought to be quick to sincerely apologize. Say, you know, I am so sorry. I didn't intend to do that, but it doesn't matter what you intend to do. It matters what you do. Would you please forgive me? I want to make things right. And if it's a serious enough offense, then I would take another mature man or two with me that... We go to Joe, again, privately. We don't announce that we're doing this. Nobody in the church should know about this. There's a lot of things that can happen behind the scenes that would be glorious. Wouldn't that be good? That'd be good. And that's a little pressure, isn't it? Okay, maybe. You know, people say, I knock like the IRS when I'm door knocking. I want to make sure I'm heard, you know, because I don't, some of you guys knock, I'm like, you don't want anybody to answer? So I need to figure out that balance, how not to be the police or the IRS, but so they'll hear me. right? That sounded like I was mad, but no. Or some of you guys, I can never do this. I'm like, I'm not your friend. Some of you guys do that door knocking. I'm like, okay. You know, pop goes the weasel. I guess with that we're doing. But so I go to Joe. It's a little pressure. Got a couple, you know, spiritually mature men. I'll have these men. And the whole point is not humiliation. The whole point is that Joe and I would reconcile and get this right and put this behind us and not talk about it anymore. Now, here's the key. It says, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. See, I'm telling you, this whole passage all is within the context of church authority. You don't have a church home. Who do you tell? And we're going to have combined Sunday school sometime in the summer, and we're going to go through church theology. What is a church? There's only one kind of church, and I'm okay. We'll have a great discussion. And only one kind of church. And so he says, tell them to the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. I want you to know this. What it's saying there, if this would have to be a serious offense, right? A serious offense. And then all of a sudden, boom, I bring it before the church. And we pray about it, and Joe still doesn't repent. We would treat him as a heathen and a publican. What does that mean? He's removed from membership. A heathen and a publican, the Bible would use that term here, to mean someone that's lost. So he would be removed from membership. And that's what Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians 5. That's why I tell you, even though it doesn't tell me that in 1 Corinthians 5, that I would be quite confident that Paul would not advise them to remove him from membership if people hadn't talked to this guy. Because this is Jesus' instruction. And he says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, wow. You get all kinds of Heinz 57 variety of people, what they believe with that. You know, it's this. You don't have that authority, but the church does. Now look at this. And it's Jesus uses this in the context of church discipline. He says, verily I say unto you. Now he's talking to the 12. But I believe he's talking to them because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 that the first members of the first church were the apostles. And he's talking about the church. And when he says you, I believe he's talking about the church. The church has this authority, and this is pretty amazing. He says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I believe, and so as far as I'm going to take this, it can be any decision the church makes, but I will tell you this. Specifically, it is decisions related to who is a member and who's not. And it has serious implications when you go back to 1 Corinthians 5 that when somebody's removed from membership, Satan has more access to their flesh. And the purpose of that is so they'll be reconciled and they'll come back and they'll honor Christ. That's always the point. So he says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, let's continue. Again, I say that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them also. There am I in the midst of them. I believe, again, this is all church context. And he's saying this. You don't have to be a massive church. I tell you this. The reason some people, and there could be a million reasons, some people don't like a church like Hope Baptist Church. Super accountable. Were you here this morning? I know you were. I was just kidding. You know, where were you last Wednesday? Hey, did I see you Sunday night? Hey. You know what? Issue of submission. Now, then some Christians don't handle it right. You know, I was here this morning. I endured. Why weren't you? It's accountability, but accountability is good, right? Why do you think they're making everybody come back into the office? Because what they found is when the cat's away, the mice will play, right? And they're like, I don't know if your productivity's as high. They did studies on this in the 1950s. It's called the Hawthorne effect. You ever hear about that? Where they did the bright lights, and people worked harder when they knew they were being watched because the bright lights are on. And it's so, that's why they're making people come back to work. Right or wrong, making them come back to work. And so, it's because accountability He's going, but I know this. You guys could say, you have to come to your office every day and have office hours. I'd be like, are you sure? I'm like, I don't like it. I would sure rather stay home as well, right? But I don't like to submit. And so the Lord has a plan, and he's given authority to his churches. Let me show you one other verse here. John chapter 20. This is after the resurrection. This is the first Sunday night service. Jesus shows up. It says, then the same day at evening, this was being the first day of the week, so Sunday night, this is the, he resurrected at dawn that day. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Apparently he walked through the walls because the doors were locked. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Again, I tell you, he had to look different. Because he had to say, right here. And they're like, oh, it's the Lord. I think he looked that different. I'll get in heaven, and the Lord goes, you know, you said that way too often. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. They were gathered together as a body of believers. Now I'm going to jump to this verse because I didn't want to deal with verse 22. I could, but I didn't want to go off on a tangent. Whosoever sins you remit, again, I think he's talking to them as they were assembled together as that first church. Now they were terrified. What in the world's going on? Jesus was crucified. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Again, I think all of that is within church discipline or church removal. You follow me? He says, what you guys forgive, I'll forgive. What you guys retain, I'll retain. Now that means we have serious responsibility, but is that not serious authority? When you imagine this, what God has told his churches, that you, whatever you decide. You know, there's a little debate, I don't know if it's great debate, in Acts chapter 1, whether they should have replaced Judas or not. You know, some would say God's plan was that Paul. I'm telling you this, if you ask me who's going to be on the pillars, the foundations of the 12 apostles, I don't think Paul will be. I think God says, whatever you retain, I'll retain. I think it's going to be a Matthias. Isn't that crazy? We'll see. The Lord goes, you know, I appreciate the effort, Steve, but you're wrong. And because he gave that church at Jerusalem and the churches that follow that authority. And they made a decision. They sought the will of God. They sought the scriptures. They wanted to do what's right. And they chose Matthias, and I think God would honor that because of the authority he's given his churches. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. So I tell you all this, church authority, not pastoral authority, church authority. When our church decides something, it's a big deal, right? Are we all in, or are we just partially in? It would be a great day because this ought to be the case. And I know there are exceptions. It's when we have something big and we've announced it forever, and there can be reasons for some. We ought to have 80, 90% turnout, and I'd be like, oh, wow, we didn't need that many people, and I'll start telling you to stay home. Never had that. God always does provide the right numbers, and he's always good, but that ought to be our response. Oh, church is doing something? We're there. It's the authority that God's given us. Again, I don't want you to be, this is not a message to make you dread things, but it's an authority that we need to submit to and honor. You follow me? Do not put me as the authority, okay? I'm just telling you, I'm a leader, and the Bible uses that term, but I'm not the authority. Now let's look at church membership. I want to tell you this, salvation makes us a child of God and places us in the family of God. Listen to this, you know, so let's just look at a few verses. John 3:3, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born spiritually. You have to be born into the kingdom of God, and you become a child of God by faith in Christ. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's a spiritual birth. You become a child of God. When someone's saved, you become their brother or sister in Christ. And so, you know, it's the family of God, the family of God. 2 Corinthians 6, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It is when you're born again, God becomes your father. It's one of the great misunderstandings. Everybody's not a child of God until they're born again into the family of God. So there's a great distinction. Now, not in many people, there's a distinction between the family of God and the Lord's churches. Now, I'll use the term the Lord's churches. I could say, and the church of the Lord, speaking of it institutionally or generically. But there is a great difference between the family of God and the Lord's churches. Here's what happens today. In today's modern theology that's the most popular, people all say this: when you're saved, you become part of the church, the big church. Can't find it in the Bible. Oh, and when we go through this in Sunday school, we will search it, and I want you to get all your arguments ready for that. The big church. I want you to understand what did God give the big church? He didn't. And so each church of the Lord is a body of Christ, is a body of Christ. And so salvation is what makes you a child of God, right? Now, baptism is what adds us to the membership of a specific church. Now, I've had Baptists that push back on me on this. And so I'm just going to show you some verses. So Acts 2:41 and 2:47, people aren't satisfied with this. There's many other verses, so we'll look at them. Acts 2:41, this is when Peter preached that very pointed message and said, "You have crucified him." And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Then they gladly received his word. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were added unto the body of Christ, added unto the church at Jerusalem, 3,000 souls. Acts 2:47 says something similar, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, how did he add them? By baptism. Now let's just look at a few other verses. Romans 6:3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" You have two options. It's either water baptism or it's baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's water baptism there. No issues with that being water baptism. They were baptized into Jesus Christ. What is that saying? Baptized into the body of Christ. Dakota became a member of this church this morning. Baptized into Jesus Christ. Baptized into the body of Christ. Just different ways of saying it. You follow me? So when you see that, and so I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight. It is, it's not baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't think anybody in this room has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so it is happened twice, and I'll be happy to sit down and discuss it with you, but I believe this: if you want to be part of the body of Christ or a body of Christ, you need to be baptized. Scripturally baptized. So I'm scripturally baptized, right? Like four things, right? It is, you must be born again, right? It must be the correct mode, right? It is the mode, you know, immersion, not sprinkling or pouring. Because if it's done any other way, that's not scriptural. You follow me? So you must be born again. It's only for believers. Anybody that's baptized as a baby, it wasn't scriptural. You know, I mean, appreciate the Greek Orthodox. And they dunk them because it is a Greek word. And so, but it's not scriptural because the baby wasn't saved. And for a number of other reasons, right? But you must be born again. It is the right mode. It is that it's immersion. It's the right purpose. Church of Christ doesn't have the right purpose. They're messed up on a lot of things, but they teach that baptism saves, baptismal regeneration. No, that's not scriptural. Baptism is a declaration of your allegiance to Christ and your identification with him and his death, burial, and resurrection, and it's the means by which you join a church. And fourth, it's the right authority. It was given to the Lord's churches. Those are the four things. The right candidate, you must be born again. The right mode, must be immersion. The right purpose, it is a picture only and a means to join a church, and fourth, the right authority. And so that is Romans 6:3. So I want to tell you this, just so you know, when you read Romans 6:3, this is water baptism. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Did you ever wonder that? Not difficult. What happened this morning? Show you another verse. Oh, this is the controversial one. So we'll get there when we get to 1 Corinthians 12, but I thought I'd introduce it tonight. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. All my friends, that maybe some of you out there, it's okay. So I have to be super careful. Deb goes, you know how insulting you are to people that don't agree with you? And I said, and she ought to know, right? So it's like, she goes, it's your spirit, man. It's your spirit. I go talk to Ron. I agree. I told her this. You know, I worry. It's my spirit. But here's what people say. For by one Spirit. And they'll say this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are all baptized into one body. Mystical? Nah. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. I want to tell you this. We're going to simplify this super, super simple. Super duper simple. It's either talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or water baptism. Could it be water baptism? Not an issue. For by one Spirit. You know what? I want people to join Hope Baptist Church because they are moved by the Holy Spirit and they believe this is where God would have them be a member. I want it to be by that Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. He's speaking to the church at Corinth. Dakota wasn't baptized into two bodies this morning. He was baptized into one body. We prayed about it. We talked about it. He believed this is what God would have him to do. You guys agreed. He was baptized, I believe, by the will of the Lord, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, into one body. What body was that? The body of Hope Baptist Church, an independent body of Christ. You follow me? But people, because when you go in with a bias, this verse fits your bias. But I tell people this, okay, maybe it means that. Could it mean any other thing? And they're like, it could not. And I'm like, there is an option B. And let's be honest, because I'll tell people that want to disagree with me, I'll say, okay, maybe you're right. But could it mean any other thing? And they kind of are blown away when you just simply, he's writing to a church, one church in Corinth. And couldn't it be that? Here's the funny thing. Because when you keep on going in chapter 12, they're like this. In verse 13, he's talking to the universal body. By the time we get to verse 22, he's talking about the local body. You kidding me? Where does it say that? He's talking about local, 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 right? And I tell you that to say there's one kind of body, because earlier in the chapter, and we'll look at this when we get to 1 Corinthians 12, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, you know, and one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one body. Doesn't it say one body there too? It does, right? And like, see, and I'll be like this. Okay. One baptism. What's the big baptism? They're like, what are you talking about? I'll be like, what's the big baptism? Because there's one baptism. And they're like, no, what he means is there's one kind of baptism. And I'm like, that's what he means, there's one kind of body. They want to say, okay, there's one kind of baptism, but there's one body. No, there's one kind of body. The Lord established his kind of church. Does the church at Jerusalem still exist today? No. When he promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church, it would not prevail against his institution, and I believe it still exists today. And so I tell you this, so then Galatians 3:27, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How were they baptized into Christ? Water baptism united them with a body of Christ called a church. Not difficult. So here's what I wanted you to understand this morning. Church authority over those that are members. We don't have authority over those that aren't members. We're going to love them, and I like people that want to come and listen and learn. And I'm just here to tell you this, that church membership is super important. It's not just getting yourself on the roll, but it's committing and submitting and saying this, I'm there. I'm there. I'm in. What do you need me to do? I'm in. I'm fully in. I'm not here to be part-time member. I'm here to be full-time, whatever it is. I'm in. I'm submitting. That's the whole point. It'll be the best thing you ever did with your life. I I love this, and my wife gets more credit than I do, right? She was more of a church person than I was when we got married. And I went to church, but I didn't love it. I didn't love it. I'm not a people person as much as you think I am. And she is. You know, she's just like, let's do an all-nighter. I'm like, what? She'd be here like, I'm telling you, so she influenced me, she impacted me, and I love it. There's no better way. You can be part of a church, and that doesn't mean that your life is now solved. But I'm just telling you this, I don't know anybody that's just not in submission to God's ways. Now, I said all this to get to the message. And I look at the clock, and it's ridiculous, right? Part two. I don't want to do a part two. I'm gonna run through this pretty quickly, okay? I'm going to run through this pretty quickly. Remember church discipline in Matthew 18. One-on-one, two or three-on-one, and then before the church for serious things. Church discipline is necessary for unrepentant sin. Unrepentant, I would even put this in parentheses, serious sin. Okay? It's not like we go running off to everybody and go, hey, Randall, Joe, hurt my feelings. And he will not repent. Let's go. Bill, would you come with us? Nassim, Ron. I know it said two or three, but you know, I can't count. And we go, that's not, we need to be like a duck and let the water go off our back, right? But if it's serious, it's church discipline is necessary with unrepentant sin, right? Secondly, it's reconciliation is always the goal. Reconciliation is always the goal. Reconciliation is always the goal. That we would restore that brother. We would restore that brother, right? Third, and so I dropped the first one just so I could fit it on here, it should be handled with love, sincerity, and truth. Just look at this. Look at verse 8, 1 Corinthians 5. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We need to handle these matters with love, sincerity, and truth. And then finally, fellowship should be limited. It talks about this. When someone is removed for sin, it is that we should not eat, and it lays them out, fornicators, covetous, idolaters, railers, drunkards, extortioners. Again, I tell you this, you know, we, in our bylaws, people are removed that have not been attending for at least 6 months, right? And so that's as impactful as removing them for sin, because they're no longer in this protective body. There's something that in being part of this body will protect you from the destruction of the flesh. And the purpose is, and so, you know, we can change it. You can say, I don't like it. But the reason we do that is I want to keep a clean membership. That's for the honor of the Lord, right? That says, you know, people aren't here and they don't want to be here. Here's what I tell people this too. I have no idea what other people's policy is. You don't want to be a member, say the word, you're not. Why not? Right? Pray about it. You don't want to be a member? Church doesn't have to vote on that. No, we aren't going to let you remove yourself. I know, you guys, you say, Steve, you're nuts. Maybe. I tell people all the time, you don't want to be a member? Just tell me. You're not. You've been removed. You're not in, you know, it's not like, when do I get out? 15 to 20, is that what I got? 15 to 20? I'll be released soon? No, this is something to be a part of out of joy. You following me? This is not bondage. It is, we want people that want to be here, right? And then we have a responsibility as a church to have a clean, holy representative of Christ. That's why we do this. And remember this, I've got a few other things, but I'm done. See, I got through that quickly. So that you were super nervous, because that could go on forever. No, I know you weren't nervous. I'm just teasing, Randall. I started here to say this. It's such a foreign concept. Because there are people, and you say I should do a better job with this. Probably should. But again, I will not mention membership to anybody that doesn't show an interest in being part of us, right? I'm not on a membership drive. There are people that attend here. They don't know they're not members. They've never joined. They don't know what church membership is. They would be insulted and shocked. But they're not here tonight. And that's one of the reasons why I would never press them. You know, I tell people all the time when people say, this is the place for us. I'll be like, oh, praise the Lord. And if they haven't been attending, I'll go, is something going to change between the moment you join, or is it going to be like you've been already? I'll say, because we're not interested in part-time members. You're welcome to attend here. We delight in the fellowship. We want you to come and learn. We're going to love you. But if you want to be a member, do you want to be all in or just kind of what you've been? Now, you guys are like, I would never say that. When you're a pastor, don't. I want, and I know I need to be nicer about it, right? And be like, hey, you know, whatever, and just be nicer. But it is, I'm trying to infect people for their next church. What do you want to be? It's church authority. Church membership's a big deal. And it's membership that serves. And then church discipline ought to be rare, but we have to address it. The church of Corinth didn't address it because it's super hard. It's, yeah, who wants to do it? You know, you could argue that, you know, the bylaws that remove people that haven't attended is part of my conflict avoidance. It says, hey, great, I don't have to really address that, right? But always, we want to reconcile, we want to restore, we want people to thrive in Christ. Is that not what we want? That's what we want. And if we misunderstand the entire reason for the Lord establishing his churches, it's so that we would do the work of God in an organized fashion with joy and accountability. I told you this. I think I mentioned this in a message. Sometimes I only look at the responses that people have, and I never respond. But again, you know, people say this because they think it sounds really funny and really good. They go, I've never believed in organized religion. I have to act not excited when people say that. I'll say, are you supportive of disorganized religion? And they're like, I'll be like, so I think it ought to be organized. I think it ought to be done in order. It ought to be done thoughtfully. It ought to be done according to the scriptures. Would you disagree with that? It's not meant to be done haphazard. God has a plan. I'm preaching to the choir, but I want the young people to understand this, you know, because here's what happens. Here's what happens. If you watch YouTube or any of the social media, you're going to find out. Man, you grew up and it's like way too rigid, man. You need to have some freedom out there, right? I'll tell you this. Best thing ever happened to you. Have parents that brought you to church, whether you wanted to or not. And you'll benefit from that for the rest of your life, whether you recognize that or not. You need that for the rest of your life. Doesn't have to be Hope Baptist Church. You need that for the rest of your life. Now, you want to have a pastor that's nicer, right? Kinder. And I want to be. That's still a goal. I haven't given up. But you want a church that'll preach the truth, preach it in love, and help you. I want you to thrive in Christ. You know that. I want you to succeed. I want you to succeed. I want you to succeed, Everly. There's nothing better in life than Jesus Christ. His plan is, we need a church. We need a church. And we never get proud about our church. It's not about Hope Baptist Church. It's about Jesus Christ. But God's plan, we submit. We submit not to the preacher, but to the body, so we can do the work of God. Let's pray. Father.